All right. Thank you for that and your investment in what we have going on in Southeast Asia. One more announcement, and then we'll get started here. If you're in the Filipino Sunday School class, we'll have a brief meeting afterwards in room 102 about our program, a couple of things we need to take care of there. And so remember that after the service, and we will do that. I think you have a handout. Do we have a handout tonight? Did we not hand those out? The offering kind of fooled them. They have a handout. We'll take them the Lord's Supper in a few minutes. But what I wanted to do tonight, I wanted to spend a few minutes. We take the Lord's Supper. We take the Lord's Supper as a church every 3 months on a Thursday night. And I wanted to explain a little bit why we do that. And I'll get started as the guys pass these out. There's a few notes. I want us to understand what we're doing. I don't want to just, you know, we just do something without understanding why are we doing it. Christianity is not like religion. Religion is doing something to earn God's favor, doing something to get salvation. That's not Christianity. Christianity is what God did to give us forgiveness of sins so we may have eternal life and that we can have a living relationship with Him. Huge difference there. And so I want us to understand these things. We're not just doing religious exercises here. I'll read the verses here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 26 to 28. He said, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin.'" Now, the Lord's Supper is a very vital, vital thing. Of course, it's mentioned several times in the New Testament. In the Gospels, it's mentioned in the story of Jesus having it with his disciples is mentioned three times. It is a very important event. As we look in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is not long before, it's not long before he's going to the cross, where he will actually die on the cross for the sin, and for our sins. And so he's meeting with his core guys, his 12 disciples that he took with him, that he trained, so that would really go out after he was crucified and he goes to heaven, and they would get the church started and get the gospel and take the gospel to the world. Of course, we know one of them was Judas. He was a thief, and so he left. But his goal was to prepare them for what was coming. His goal was to prepare them for what they would be doing after he left this earth and went to heaven. I think in your notes there you have this. Before he is going to the cross, he is having the Lord's Supper, showing its importance, particularly the importance it will have after his death. Now, he did it with his guys before his death, but there's going to be a huge significance for it, to it after his death and after he is gone. This is when Jesus was doing this, he was showing the symbolic nature of the elements, okay? The bread represents his body. Of course, his body which was broken for us, not his bones, but he was beaten and so forth. And then the cup represents his blood. The juice represents his blood, not just his blood being shed. And by the way, that is vital. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It wasn't that Jesus just was killed in our place, died in our place. His blood had to be shed. And that is very important. And so it is important that we have a proper understanding of the Lord's Supper and the purpose that it has in the life of the church. But not just that, it also has importance in the life of an individual Christian. It's, as I mentioned before, it's not just some religious exercise we do, right? It's like there's two ordinances. We already know these things. It is, if you've been here before, we have the Lord's Supper and we have baptism. Baptism is not just a religious thing. It is a representation of what happened to somebody when they received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are buried and they're risen in the like Christ was raised from the grave so that they would have newness of life. And so the Lord's Supper has a meaning for us. We're not just here, and I thank you for being here, great crowd on a Thursday night, to take the Lord's Supper together as a church. But if we're going to have the proper view of the Lord's Supper, we must understand that there are some wrong views of the Lord's Supper. We have to have the proper meaning of the Lord's Supper. There's three of them, and I want to give them to you there. I have blanks for you. I didn't have the big words with blanks, okay? Because I didn't want to give you the word, and it's like, how do you spell that? And it's like, don't ask me. Spelling's not one of my strong points, all right? The first one is transubstantiation. Go ahead, try it. Spell it. Put your finger on it. No. Transubstantiation. Now, I'm going to say this, and we're not being mean here. We're sticking with the Bible. This is more the Catholic view of the Lord's Supper, okay? And I'm not telling you anything that they would not tell you if you asked them what they believe. This doctrine teaches, here's where we get out of line here, that the bread and wine literally become the body and blood of Christ when the priest consecrates it. Really, if you look at that, the Mass is almost looked at as a re-sacrifice of Christ, where we're receiving based on it becomes to them the literal body and blood of Christ. Now, we can say, oh, Pastor, that's not true. Many years ago, one of my relatives that married into the family, one of their relatives died, so out of respect, I went to their funeral for their relative, and it was at a Catholic church, and during the service, the priest came up and he did some little thing over it, and his words, what he said this was the body of Christ. This is now the blood of Christ. Well, we know that is not true. The biblical position is this: the bread and cup are symbols of Christ's sacrifice, not his literal flesh and blood. It's like, really? You know that song, I Will Follow Jesus? If they did it, it'd be, I Will Swallow Jesus. It's just silly. The Bible intends it to be a symbol of what Christ did. Amen. And there's a reason behind it. And so if we're not careful, it's not a means of getting something from God, but it's an act of obedience. Then there's this one, consubstantiation. Some of the early Protestant churches which have now kind of gone sideways believe this. Now, this is not teaching that the bread and the juice literally become the body of Christ. Here's what they believe. They believe that this teaches that Christ is physically present in and with the elements. In other words, it doesn't become him, but in a mystical way, he is present in those elements. Again, that's not the biblical position. Christ is present spiritually in the gathered body of believers as we take these elements. He's not physically or spiritually in those elements. Do you understand that? We're taking something that's supposed to be a symbol and we're making it something that it is not. And when we get to what the Lord's Supper represents, I think you're going to understand it in a better way. And then there's sacramentism, okay, taking a sacrament. Some Protestant groups, they view the Lord's Supper as a means of receiving grace or some special, some special spiritual nourishment from God because we take it. It's that it transfers something to us as a sacrament. The word sacrament means ceremony or action that imparts a divine grace. Let me just tell you something. We don't get, and again, you get something from taking the Lord's Supper. You don't intrinsically get something from the Lord's Supper. You understand that? In other words, it's like there's nothing, I don't want to use the word magical, but if there's a better word, mystical. There's nothing mystical in that's transferred to us when we take it. You say, then why do we take it? Because again, it's a symbol. And what we get out of the Lord's Supper depends on the reflection we have as we're taking the Lord's Supper. Does that make sense? And it will make sense in a minute when we get into the practical parts of it. And so there's just all these different religions that have these ceremonies they do, you know, the incense and all these different things, and think that by this action there's something mystical that comes to me. No. That's not how our relationship works. The Lord's Supper, the Bible position is the Lord's Supper doesn't convey anything to us. The Lord's Supper is a symbol. It is not a sacrament. So what is it? Before we take the Lord's Supper, I want to see some of the reasons why we should and why it's important to us. This is why we take time to do it. Number one, it's a representation. It's a representation. When we take the Lord's Supper, the elements are representing something that happened in the past. Christ's death on the cross for our sins. That's what makes it different than the other views. In other words, it's a representation, right? It doesn't make you a better Christian just simply because you're ingesting it without thinking it through. No more than putting a wedding ring helps you if you're not really married. A wedding ring is just a representation to say, hey, I am married. That could be a good or bad thing. No, it's a good thing. Now, so what does that make? That makes a difference. So here's what the problem is with the others. They attach a power, becoming Christ, or a present, Christ is in the elements, or a product, you receive grace, forgiveness, or blessing, that the Bible doesn't. There's no special anything about the literal elements. It's what they represent that's a big deal. And it has meaning, by the way. That is why it's a big deal. Number two, it also is reunifying. Reunifying. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 to 17. The cup of the Lord, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Communion is like a fellowship or a community. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. There's just something about taking the Lord's Supper that we take as a church family. So that it is a unifying. It's time when we all sit down together. And although we do it individually, we're doing it together corporately, where we sit down and we take the elements and we think through, what is Christ doing? What has Christ done? And church does it. It unifies. How does it unify? Well, it is something that the church does in unity that helps them to be unified, not just in our relationship with Christ, which is part of it, but also to one another. Because the more unified the individual Christian is in the church with Christ, the more unified we will be with each other. There is no way for us to be close to Christ and to be distant or have a bad relationship with our Christian brother. Do you understand that your relationship with Christ has everything to do with your relationship with others, right? That's why 1 John says, if a man say he loves God and hates his brother, what is he? He's a liar. You can't do that. Say, but people are irritating. I know. I look at one every day in the mirror. All right? But how do you do? But when I'm closer to Christ, I can be closer to other people. You know how we're going to be closer as a church? We have to be closer to Christ. And this is a unifying time. The closer we are, there it is, to Christ, the closer we are to each other. And by the way, let me say this. A church must be unified. We're not going to go very far if we are not unified. Here's a thought. How can we love those who we seek to reach as a church if we can't love those who are already a part of the church? And right there's a time just to say, ouch, right? Psalm 133 tells us the importance of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment that ran down the head, that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded his blessing, even life forevermore. Now, I will say this. Part of the reason that Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church is because when they were taking the Lord's Supper, they were doing it incorrectly, and it was actually doing more harm than good. I have the verses there. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in a minute as we take the Lord's Supper. But I want you to see this, the verses ahead of what we're going to read. It says, now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not. That's a nice way of saying, a reproof is coming your way, cowboy. That you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. When you are come together unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. They were doing it not in a correct way. And he goes, you got all these divisions, you got all these problems, you're not doing it right. Because if you're doing the Lord's Supper, it ought to bring you closer to Christ and closer to one another. Number three, and this is where we get into a lot of the key elements we already know. Remembrance. Remembrance. That's what he was saying in the verses there. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. Do ye this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus just wants us to have a time as a church when we get together and we remember what he did. You know, people don't want to be forgotten. If we're not careful, we become like the lepers. Remember the 10 lepers that got cleansed? There was 10 of them cleansed, and they all, 9 of them said, this is great, let's go home, let's go our way. And one came back to thank the Lord. Now, I don't think that we would purposely be forgetful, but let's just be honest with one another. We can forget. We can not, you know, we can let it get out of our minds. We'll say it, but we really don't think about it. We have to, look, a person who cannot look back and remember their salvation and be thankful for it, I would say this, you might want to just check in to see if you really have it. I'm not saying sometimes we neglect it, right? You know, in the hassle of things, we don't take the time to stop and like, Lord, you really are good to me. But if you're like, you can't, that's a sign that maybe we need to fix something. We complain so often, right? We're so easy to complain to the Lord about the things that he doesn't do that we want him to do and that type of thing, but if we remember what he did on the cross, everything will be all right. Number four, there's a reflection as well. A reflection. He says, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. The word show means to proclaim or publish. It's almost like, you know, we're supposed to proclaim the gospel and show the gospel and show the Lord's death. One way we're doing that is when we meet together at a church and we do that through the Lord's Supper. We're showing that the salvation is the biggest thing. I know our church is involved in so many things, but let's just be honest with you. We only have one really main purpose. That's to honor God through getting the gospel out to this world and showing the truth of Christ to this world. The church ought to be centered around Christ. Now, that's a good word right there for an amen. It's about Jesus. Now, we do other things. I get that. But at its core, we have to remember we're honoring Jesus. And if we don't take the Lord's Supper, it's easy sometimes to not stop and reflect about what's going on. And I want to make sure we do that. So we show it to each other as remembrance. A remembrance that we are a church centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know. That we are a church purposed to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, how can I show the world Jesus Christ? That's a good question. We have Easter invitations out there. Grab a handful. You never know. I came to church because someone said, hey, it's Easter. Why don't you come with me? Okay, I thought, okay, where's the Easter bunny? Where's the eggs? All that stuff. And I got saved. But we ought to be showing that. And it's very easy. We can do that. Number five, it's a reoccurrence. He says, for all as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup. In other words, it's not just a one-off that the church does. And then, okay, we've done it. You know, look, baptism, it's different. You get baptized once. Okay? Because once you're saved, you're saved. You don't lose it, but you don't have to get baptized again. But the Lord's Supper is something we need to take over and over again. Now, people ask sometimes, well, how often do you do it? He says, as oft. It's up to the church. They just decide, hey, how often do you want to do it? For ours, we do it once every 3 months. And so we need that reminder regularly. It's a refresher. You know, I like, there's a couple times in the New Testament where it talks about the teaching of the New Testament. You know, it tells us in one way or another to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. You know, you hear like, I've heard that before. I know, but God says sometimes we need a reminder. And we need a constant reminder, although we know it, that I need a time to sit here and think about what Jesus Christ did for me. You know why we need to repeat it? It's easy to get our eyes off us. We say we love Jesus. We might go out and even share the Lord Jesus. We might sing of Jesus, but if we're not careful, our heart is not involved. Okay? We want our heart involved. We want to, by the way, that is why we do try to sing the right kind of songs. And I encourage you when we're singing to sing the songs. Amen. And look in the book. We don't sing. I'm not singing these new songs that are coming down the pipe, you know. It sounds like, I've mentioned before, it sounds like a weather report or a geography lesson. Because we want the music to be about me. I like the music to be about him. When I survey the wondrous cross, right? I mean, you just look at the songs. Listen, the songs that are written in the hymn book, those took some time. Those took some thought. Those have doctrine. And I'm not against newer songs if newer songs are written correctly. But a lot of them are just like, you know, pick five different elements and stick them together and put them in a blender and here we go. Sing it 12 times. I want to hear about Jesus. I want to hear about his blood. I want to hear about his death on the cross. It helps me to stay focused. Number six, review. Review. Verse 27, he says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup, now this is a warning, peeps, who drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Unworthily means you do it in an irreverent manner. You see, it says, look, I remember when we first came back here, before we started church, I was working in a warehouse. There was a guy there. He was a graduate of, he said he was a graduate of Moody Bible Institute. I think he had a master's degree. And we're sitting there talking. He goes, it doesn't matter. You could take the Lord's Supper with soda and potato chips. And I'm like, man, you had a little bit too much schooling. I think Jesus is a little, first of all, the Bible mentions what we're supposed to use. But like, you know, you don't go get a hot dog and a lemonade and say, all right, let's be reverent about this thing. It's a serious thing. Let's think this thing through. There should be a seriousness and solemnness to the Lord's Supper in that we review our lives. We remember what Jesus did, but you know, it's always going to happen. When you remember what Jesus did, you're going to reflect on who you are. By the way, one of two things, it'll help you to correct things. It'll help you to be thankful that he's forgiving. The word examine means to recognize as genuine after an examination, to be approved. We look at our lives. Is my life really genuine faith that I'm trying to live as I look at it in comparison with Jesus Christ? And if it's not, then I need to make some changes here. Amen. I'm sure when we examine our lives in the light of the Lord, what Jesus did for us, we shall find some areas we need to improve. Yep. Number seven, we kind of related to this, reverence. Reverence. The verse we read, verse 20, I'll read it. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, ouch, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You know, the Corinthian church had a lot of problems. Just read the first couple chapters. It's like, is it really a church? And he's saying, how could they say they're taking the Lord's Supper? I'm reading between the lines here, but I think it's within line of what the context is. How can you be a church here and take the Lord's Supper all the time and you've got all this sin in the church? He says, if you don't even care about it that much, there might be some consequences that come your way for not taking the Lord's Supper correctly. And that's not a scare tactic. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we ought to just look at ourselves and be able to look at it correctly. The worst consequence typically come to those who are confronted with where they need to make changes and yet refuse to. See? When God brings something to your mind, well, that's the next point, but when God brings something to your mind, it's like, hey, you need to deal with that and fix it. He's not trying to condemn us. That's Satan. He's trying to convict us so we make the change. His goal in convicting us for what we're doing is so that we change and get to where we're supposed to be. The Lord's Supper helps with that. And then the last one is this. And then we'll, fellas, get ready. We'll take the elements in a minute. Repentance. But let a man so examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So after you examine it, you're going to take that. Why? Because you're going to make changes. You're going to have some repentance in your life. It is only after that examination. By the way, we have to examine ourselves. That's why daily prayer is good, right? Lord, forgive me of my sins. You say, well, I don't know what sins. Just hang tight. When you say, Lord, I've been sinful and I want forgiveness, God will say, it's just the Spirit of God says, let me drop some right here. Remember you said that to that person? Like, do we have to be that specific, right? It's like, God will bring it to your mind. He wants us to get better. And an examination should lead us to make necessary changes. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. One time I heard somebody, a good person, it was Lord's Supper time, and they were, I don't know, giving a testimony. I didn't agree with it. They're like, you know, and they weren't a bad person, like sin in their life or any of that stuff. Like when I'm here and I hear this, it just takes me a little while to get to go through the process and get it right so I don't take the Lord's Supper. I'm like, that's what the Lord's Supper's for. How hard is it for God to convict us and we say, you know what, Lord, I was wrong. And Lord, I'm going to change that. I'm going to ask for your forgiveness, and I want your power to get over it, and then you're cleansed. You take the Lord's Supper. Yes, okay? And so that's part of it. God wants to work in our life. And so I hope you understand tonight, when we do this, it's not just, okay, it's on the calendar, 3 months, let's go. No, it's an important thing. Amen. Brother Grandy, why don't you come? We're going to prepare for the Lord's Supper, and we're going to think and remember what Jesus Christ did for us. Open your Bibles as he's coming down. I want to read the verses that we use, and then they'll prepare the elements. We'll pass out the bread first. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23, and we'll read through verse number 28 together. We read many of these verses, but I want to read them right here as we're ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 28. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. As we are going through this process here and passing it out and singing, may we think about what Jesus Christ did for us and where you're at while you're singing, and think about, Lord, how's my life? How is that lining up? Lord, and then be in remembrance of what he did for us. The gentlemen will come. They'll start passing out the bread, Brother Grandy.
Let's stand together, please. 343 in our psalm books. At the cross, we'll sing it together on that first verse. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away.
you've received the bread, why don't you bow your head? And let's think about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body that he allowed to be broken for you. Not his bones, not a bone of him was broken, but he was allowed himself to be beat, mistreated, crown of thorns, all of it. And he did that for us. Let's take a minute or two here in silence and communicate with the Lord about thanking him for what he did in giving himself for you. The whole reason he came to this earth was to head to that cross. Scripture says in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. Father, we are so grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and took physical form. And he took physical form so that he could go to the cross for us, that he would give himself for us. How amazing it is that the creator of the universe would allow himself to be mistreated and put to death by his creation. And Lord, he did it for us. Lord, we thank you for doing that for us. We pray that you would help us to live a life that would honor you in that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The men will come now. We'll have the juice. Brother Grandy.
246 in our psalm books. There is a fountain. 2, 4, 6. Let's sing it together on verse number 1. There is a fountain.
Lose all their guilt.
Think about the juice. It represents the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood, think about it, that was shed for the remission of our sins. All of the sacrifices of the Old Testament were a picture and a foreshadow of the ultimate blood sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And he came once for all. As we think about how the blood has given us forgiveness of sin eternally, how are we doing in a practical standpoint? How is our life? We seek and to live a life that would be honoring to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take a minute here and silently reflect on Jesus sacrificing himself and giving his blood. And let's reflect on our own lives. In verse number 25, he says, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take the juice together. Father, we're grateful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cleansing from sin and eternal life for which it provided. I also am thankful for the forgiveness of sin we can have on this earth. Lord, the sin which so often gets between us and our relationship with you, I pray, Father, that you would help us to stay as close to you as we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.